This is 1A. I'm Joshua Johnson, visiting Houston Public Media. Meet the Press is the longest-running TV program in American history. We're going to go back in time to showcase some highlights from the past 70 years. But first, we thought we'd ask its moderator and executive producer about what's happening in our world today. Joining us now at our home base in D.C. is the moderator of Meet the Press, Chuck Todd. Chuck, welcome to 1A.
Joshua, it's a pleasure to be here. I'm staring at an empty chair. It's a bummer you're not here, but that's okay.
I know. I'm sorry. Well, we'll meet again. We'll meet again.
Absolutely.
And also with us at our home base in D.C. is the show's executive producer, John Reese. John, welcome.
Thank you so much, Joshua.
There's a lot going on in politics, and we do want to talk about the 70th anniversary of Meet the Press. We also, of course, welcome your questions and thoughts as well about anything going on in today's politics. There's plenty to discuss today, or questions or stories about Meet the Press, particularly if you're like me and grew up watching the show every Sunday morning. Email us, 1A@WAMU.org, comment on our Facebook page, or tweet us at 1A. Chuck, let me start with the big political stories of today. Mm-hmm. Two very closely watched elections in Virginia and New Jersey. Let's start with Virginia, between Republican Ed Gillespie and Democrat Ralph Northam. What are we looking for today in that election?
Well, I think it's a race that the Democrats psychologically desperately need to win. They're on paper should win. This is a state that Hillary Clinton carried by more than 5 points, a supposed swing state that has felt like it has been drifting towards the Democrats. And I say drift, I mean, Republicans can still win in Virginia if everything goes right for them. And one of those types of elections are elections like this one, which is one these off-year elections. Look, I think what's on the ballot today is Trumpism. Ed Gillespie, I think, has done everything he can to thread this needle of balancing who he is, which is basically a guy who was born and raised to be an establishment Republican figure, sort of your typical Chamber of Commerce type Republican. He's a former RNC chair, very much in sort of the business wing of the party. About as anti-Bannon, Steve Bannon, as you could come up with. But he's running a campaign on Trumpism, running on immigration, running on the Confederate monuments, basically running a racially tinged campaign from the outside looking in. And I think what's been interesting about Northam's campaign is that he seems, and what I'll say is both candidates seem to be struggling on how to run with Trump or run with in this Trump environment.
Right.
And if Northam loses and Gillespie wins, there will be a lot of hand-wringing in the Democratic Party on two things. Number one, was Northam sufficiently progressive enough? That will be one argument. He won a Democratic primary over somebody where sort of the Sanders wing nationally was with Tom Perriello, the former congressman from Charlottesville. Northam debt. The second thing that will be second guessed on Northam is that did he run a tough enough anti-Trump campaign? And I think that's an open question. I think if it's a narrow win, anything 3 points or less for Gillespie, meaning even if he loses but loses by less than three, his campaign blueprint will be copied in pretty much every swing state in the country in 2018. By Republicans.
John Reese, let's talk about the other big race today that has not been getting nearly as much attention as the Virginia race, but in New Jersey. Talk about that and what that means in a larger sense.
Well, it's hard to imagine at this point that the Democrats could lose that one. I think what they're looking at here is hoping to win by more than 10 points. This is a race that's largely, if not entirely, about Chris Christie. I think in Virginia, that's where most of the attention has been on Virginia and whether the Democrats can actually pull off a win there. Anything less than a win in New Jersey, it would be a catastrophe for the Democrats, and I don't think anybody foresees that. Virginia is a bit of a toss-up, maybe a slight edge for Northam. It's hard to imagine the Democrats losing in New Jersey.
You know, Joshua, I would say one other thing on Virginia is a lot of people are going to be watching the races for state delegates actually very closely, and here's why. There are 17 district, sort of basically, look, in Virginia, they call them state delegates. In other states, they call them state representatives, just so people know. It's basically right. the lower house in Virginia. There were 17 districts that Hillary Clinton carried that Republicans hold in Virginia. And a lot of people who are wondering, is there going to be a way for the Democrats to pick up Congress in 2018? They're watching these races closely because in 2009, when Republicans won a bunch of these state delegate races in 2009, it did seem to foreshadow the 2010 blowout for the Republicans for the following year. So there are a lot of things to look at below the ballot, not just the gubernatorial race, to tell us a little bit about 2018.
And I think everyone sort of agrees in Virginia that if the Democrats can pick up 10 or more seats, if they can get to double digits, that's a sign for what may happen in the vote for Congress in 2018.
I should also note, I forgot to mention the candidates in New Jersey. You've got Democrat Phil Murphy running against the Republican Lieutenant Governor Kim Guadagno. By the way, the local NPR stations are doing some great coverage of those two races. You can check out WNYC.org for more coverage of New Jersey's election, and our station, WAMU.org, for more coverage of the Virginia gubernatorial race. We're speaking to Chuck Todd, the moderator of NBC's Meet the Press, and John Reese, the program's executive producer, on the occasion of the show's 70th anniversary, which technically was just yesterday. We welcome your questions and thoughts for them, or about anything in politics that's going on these days that's got you kind of looking for a little more perspective or to get some insights from Chuck and John. Email us 1A@WAMU.org, comment on our Facebook page, or tweet us at 1A. Rob tweeted, "Independent Virginia voter here. I despise Ed Gillespie, but Virginia Democrats ran bad ground campaigns. I split my ticket to get Republicans and Democrats to work together." Aaron writes, "From what I've seen and heard, Ed Gillespie is running one of the nastiest, most racist campaigns that's been seen for a long time." Chuck, could you clarify? You talked a little bit about that. You alluded to it. What mm-hmm. specifically might Aaron be referring to in terms of racist?
Well, look, he's referring to two different ads that have run in the last 6 weeks. One has to do with a fear, sort of this fear of the rise of a international gang called MS-13. There's been a handful of this gang-related activity, particularly in parts of Northern Virginia. And it's been of concern to quite a few parents, sort of infiltrated in some schools, some concern about that. And he's been running on that as more of an immigration and sort of say, and then implying also that Northam and Terry McAuliffe, the outgoing governor, have been soft on this issue. He's raised the idea that he's going to prevent sanctuary cities from happening in Virginia. Well, there are no sanctuary cities in Virginia. It's against there's no way they could become one, even if they chose to, if any local municipality tried. So he's introduced that issue as a way to get at the immigration issue. And then he's been, he's advertised on the memorials, on the Confederate memorial issue, being very straightforward, saying Northam's for taking them down, I'm for keeping them up. Obviously, in a post-Charlottesville climate, might be surprising to some to see that, but I've talked to the Gillespie campaign. They believe that's an issue that's 2-1 in their favor, which is why they haven't feared it. And the fact of the matter is he's advertising on it. Ralph Northam isn't. And I think it tells you the concern I think the Northam campaign has that these ads might be effective. The final ad that has not been about race at all, but really has been about crime, that I think is Gillespie's perhaps most effective ad, and if he wins, we'll look back at it and say that was the ad. So Terry McAuliffe, as governor, restored the rights of thousands of felons, their voting mm-hmm. rights. Well, the Gillespie campaign seemed to find one whose rights were restored that ended up having the largest stash of child pornography in, I think, the state's history when he was busted a few months ago. Well, that's been an ad that's been running on a loop in Northern Virginia. And it's been effective enough that Northam's had to respond to it. And look, it actually gets at the most important demographic group that I'm watching, Republican women in Northern Virginia, sort of suburban Republican women. These are women that probably voted for Romney in 2012, probably voted for Terry McAuliffe, the Democrat, in 2013, may have voted for Gillespie when he ran for the Senate, but certainly were Clinton voters in 2016. What do they do? in the primary, they voted in the Democratic primary. Does Gillespie win those voters back or not? And I think that if he wins, it'll, I think, because of that final ad I just described, believe it or not.
We have much more politics to talk before our time is up. But John Reese, very briefly, I wonder, as we're in Texas, I'd love to begin talking with you about the way we're talking about these mass shootings. And being now that we are in Houston, not far from Sutherland, what about the way we cover these shootings? I'm sure you've seen that evolve over the years.
We've had that's actually been an issue of some debate on our staff. You know, both the Meet the Press and Meet the Press Daily staffs, we have a morning meeting each day. And with the last shooting in Las Vegas, we had a very vigorous debate about how and whether to lead with that story or even cover it on Meet the Press. One side believed that this was the biggest story in the country and there was no way of avoiding it. The other,
right.
Others believed, while that's true, the debate simply hasn't changed. And that is what we face even now. As we look at what happened in Texas.
And I do want to talk more about that. But first, Jeremy wrote on our website, the1a.org, "I've been a consistent Meet the Press viewer since the Tim Russert days. Even if I tune in during the middle of the show, I always have to play back the beginning and end of the show to hear the John Williams theme song. Well, then let me get out of the way so you can hear it in the clear. I'm Joshua Johnson. You're listening to 1A from WAMU and NPR.